Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If one were to poll ELCA pastors and deacons and other leaders of a certain vintage and ask what were the strongest influences on their faith formation and call to ministry, chances are that Bible camp would be mentioned in the top three by almost everyone. There's just something special about being outdoors, touching grass instead of a device, being with new people, and exploring questions of faith that we didn't know we had, or that we were just too afraid to ask back home for fear of dirty looks from the matriarchs of our home congregations. My first Bible camp was Luther Park outside Chautauqua, Wisconsin, up in the northern part of the state. I was a confirmation camper the summer between sixth and seventh grades, and I was hooked immediately. So much so that I was a wreck the next summer when I couldn't afford to go to camp. Hallelujah and amen, though, for the following year when Luther Park started this new program for high schoolers called PALS, stood for Partners Actively Learning and Serving. If you were accepted, you could go to camp for 3 weeks for the grand sum of $0 in exchange for a few shifts a week, washing dishes, or cleaning bathrooms, or working on the grounds crew, or running lights for the camp musical. Sign me up. What a great time. I was able to do that for two summers. Mary Jo, show them the picture. This was the first summer of PALS. This was the third session ever. And to show you how, you know, for an example of how well camp people stay connected, three of us have landed in California. The one in the upper right, she is actually a member of St. John's downtown. The boy that's second from the left is in San Jose. So three of us have just ended up there. And you run into them elsewhere. Our counselor, the one on the left, she was the middle school band teacher in the town where I did my internship in southwestern Wisconsin. So we are all still in touch. We've lost track of one, but the rest of us are still in touch. And I'll take your guesses afterwards if you can figure out which one is me. One of the things that we PALS did along with the staff was to take part in this worship experience called the Christ Walk. It was a journey around camp where staff and PALS would act out Jesus' story. And we PALS were always disciples, you know, because there was always so many of us. So we joined in with the staff on that part. And in later years when I was on real staff, I played the innkeeper at Jesus' birth, and then the other end of his life, the repentant criminal at the crucifixion. Every year at the end of the Christ Walk, the full cast would sing for the audience. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing that we can be born again. Or another year, I was a sinner, I was slipping away when the Lord laid his hand on me. Yet another one in our rotation. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Those three were awesome songs, but my favorite as a camper or as a staffer was a song called The Room Upstairs, which led right into another song called Get Ready from a musical called The Witness by Jimmy and Carol Owens. Now, this musical tells the story of Jesus from birth to death, his resurrection and his ascension, culminating with the story of Pentecost, all as told by different people in Jesus' life and narrated by who else but Peter. The song goes a little bit like this, the short chorus. In that room upstairs where we met to pray and it all began, I'll never forget the day. The fire fell, the Spirit came. and nothing will ever be the same. The short chorus launches into Peter's narration, both spoken and sung, of today's reading from Acts, interwoven with a full choral setting of the beginning of Peter's first sermon to the gathered church, a sermon which goes far past the four verses designated for us today. Now, to set the stage a little bit, we've spent the last couple weeks looking at Galatians, preceded by 3 weeks in Acts, during which we heard about the stories of Stephen, the Ethiopian eunuch, and the Jerusalem Council. Now, this stage was set for those stories by the events that we're looking at today, the events of Pentecost. Acts 2 is commonly referred to as the birthday of the church. At the beginning of Acts, in Acts 1, Luke summarizes the events of Jesus' life. He writes about the ascension, and he describes the process of choosing a new apostle to replace Judas. Then, in that upper room where Matthias was just welcomed to their number, the 12 apostles experienced something amazing. Og da pinsefestes dag varkomet vardes alles samlet på samme sted. Kaigeneto afno ektu uranu ikos hosper feromenis pnois biais kai eplirosen holanton oikan u isan kathimenoi. Apreciaron entonces unas lenguas como de fuego que se repartirion y se posaron sobre cada uno de ellos. Dable de ala filt met den helige ond, o de beginter otala y andre tunger, alt etter som onden go dem otala. Suddenly, without warning, a mighty wind swept through that room. Tongues as of fire landed on the heads of each one there, and the Holy Spirit filled each one, and they each began to speak in other languages. And the crowd that was gathered understood what each one was saying. Imagine that. Not only being given the ability to speak another language, but for the crowd to understand what you were saying. You're not tanked up on white lightning, Peter said. You haven't come down with a case of foreign language syndrome where you come out of surgery suddenly able to speak Mandarin or Russian or whatever other language. The gathered congregation isn't getting help from those AI-powered translation earbuds you see on TikTok. You speak and understand. They hear and understand. Now, I get that in these very early days of the new church, just 7 weeks removed from the death and resurrection of Jesus, there was an abundance of nervous energy in the room. After the women were the first to be sent out to proclaim the good news of Jesus' resurrection, after the men were in hiding and then finally got their stuff together and got to work, after they were all reunited with Jesus only for him to ascend to heaven after they brought their head count back up to 12, then the work of the church began. The energy and excitement in that room was one thing, but these happenings in the upper room were almost liveliness bordering on chaos, kind of like giving an unattended preschooler a cup of coffee and a puppy. You never know what is going to happen. But in that upper room, the roaring sound of a mighty, violent wind, tongues like fire, a cacophony of languages, God's Spirit blew through the room, and that ecstatic fire spread like wildfire. Back in Genesis chapter 11, we can read about the Tower of Babel. It's a short reading, only about 9 verses, and talks about one people who spoke one language on one planet, our planet. The people had migrated around, they had been roaming, and they finally decided to settle down a bit. And they made bricks, and they decided to build a tower up to the heavens. The Lord was checking it out, and the Lord was not impressed. One people, one language, all together, and this is what they do? I need to put a stop to this one, says the Lord. So language was scrambled. The people were scrambled. And the earth was divided. It's sad to see how language and story continue to divide God's people. At one time, speaking more than one language was a point of pride, a bridge builder. And we respected those people. Now, too often we hear, speak English, or stop speaking that other language. I just know you're talking about me. Thinking back to my growing up years in northern Wisconsin, we didn't hear any languages besides English in our early school years. There was one second grade classroom that if you were lucky to be with that teacher, you got to learn some sign language because she was fluent in ASL. Then in third and fourth grade, maybe someone from the high school would come or someone from the community, and the smart kids, you know, only the smart kids, only the gifted class, would get group lessons in German or French or Spanish. Middle school was an English-only experience, and the high school only offered French until my senior year when they finally got around to adding Spanish. If we kids were lucky, if we were lucky, we had grandparents that knew a little bit of German or Norwegian because they grew up speaking it in the home. Nowadays, if you roam the halls of my old high school, you'll hear English and you'll hear Spanish. And for a tiny town of 3,200 people in northern Wisconsin, you're gonna hear Somali and Arabic as well. Granted, there have been many bumps in this road, and there's still many community members who are wondering why anything besides English is allowed. But these young people give us hope. They have pulled together in the classroom, on the soccer field, on the choir stage, on the cross-country track to share their stories and their languages and their cultures with others, trying to make their community a better world for everybody. This day of Pentecost, these events in the upper room, this is a reversal of that Tower of Babel. While still speaking many languages, the people there in the upper room, the people gathered outside, began to understand each other. That indecipherable Babel becomes communication. Community is fashioned out of adversaries who wanted nothing to do with each other. Divided tongues speak with one voice. And in this moment of Pentecost, Babel was undone. We begin to hear God's story, to understand God's story, to tell God's story. And the church's story is our story, and it is bound up in Christ's story. Throughout the season of Lent, in our daily devotionals and in our small groups and in worship, we explored how God's story became a part of our story. And during the season of Easter that we wrap up today, we've told our story. Our Hump Day Hallelujah videos every Wednesday at 7 a.m. these past 7 weeks, they've all had familiar faces from amongst Ascension telling chapters of their stories. Carrie shared the story of her family Bible taking a more visible role in her life. Shane talked about faith playing an important role in his life throughout his turbulent childhood. Cynthia shared how one conversation in the Ascension Kitchen altered the trajectory of her life. Leslie talked about how prayer has changed and impacted her life in the face of adversity. William shared about his faith formation and serving God from Citrus Heights to Nepal. Irv talked about singing God's story and meeting very special people through his involvement in church choirs for over 60 years. Sarah shared how God has worked and continues to work miracles in her life. And who can forget Cherie's transformation into a butterfly in worship? How have you seen God at work in your life? Have you told your story to anyone? Do people understand your story? The Holy Spirit isn't just blowing right through the house and fanning the flames. The Holy Spirit is blowing through us and into us. The Holy Spirit is filling our hearts as we tell the simplest story, Abba, Father. No matter the language spoken, no matter how the story is told, God's story is being told. God's story is heard. God's story is shared. And God's good news is made alive through all of humanity right here, right now. I'm gonna tell that story. I'm gonna sing that song. I'm gonna praise my Savior all day long. Amen. Next Sunday is Holy Trinity Sunday, and we'll get to hear Pastor Scott wrestle with the one in three and three in one through the lenses of John 16